Good morning, and you all welcome. Happy Valentine's to everybody on the phone. It is a joyful day to know that we are built out of cloth of love. If anybody has any sharing, they can share with us, and if not, then Bahar will go through her questions.
You got it. Our first question. You have shared with us that rudeness, meanness, and lying all require discipline, and to really discipline hard if it needs to be hard. This has helped us a lot. At the same time, we have also learned to put ourselves in their shoes, give them understanding, just talk to them, and let a lot of things go. Despite so much guidance already, some of us continue to struggle with the times when we should really discipline hard and those when we should show them understanding or even let something go. Is there anything more you can say on this to help us make this distinction?
It really comes when a child is just continuously being rude and disrespectful. That's when it has to be a stop. But if a child is really, really angry, and this is not something that it occurs often, and all of a sudden, out of her anger, something nasty comes out, then it's only human to get out of control when you have a lot of anger. And then perhaps if they are small enough, they are young enough, afterwards you can talk to them and help them with control of the anger. Not control of the anger, perhaps how to see the anger as not something that is them, but something that has arisen in them. And they have choices. But the only thing I can say is every situation is different. I don't think any of you guys on the phone needs to worry about meanness or rudeness of their child, but if you see it repeated, then there has to be a consequence. But at the same time, you have to find the roots of it. Is it frustration? Is deep anger toward something that has not been dissolved while they're small? When they get bigger and bigger, it's going to be much harder to have this conversation with them because it builds on it. The resentment builds on it, and then you get to the point that you don't even know why your resentment toward your mother or father. So that's all I can really say. And go with your intuitive heart. I mean, parents have very much intuitive heart toward their child, even if they don't have it toward anybody else. Just use that and put the situation in your intuitiveness and see what guidance you get to carry on your action. But everything should be in a loving way, you know. Even discipline should be in a loving way, not in an angry way.
Ajum, can you elaborate on that last sentence that the discipline should be in a loving way?
Well, if there is a shouting between the child and the mother or the father, who is at fault? I mean, they both are screaming. So the softer you discipline, the better it penetrates. In other words, you do what you think is right, but you don't have to shout and run around and criticize the child.
Thank you so much. Question two. Sometimes the urge for correction comes from my own personal fear, and I overreact in the moment. How can I take myself out of it?
Yeah, that was my dilemma, and I really, really, really tried to not install the fear that I got from my childhood. I really did. I went so opposite that my kids used to make fun of me. I mean, it was like I would take my fear and turn it to some sort of a courage for them. That's something that consciously you have to be aware of. The damage of fear is endless in a child. I mean, really is the cause of their struggle later on in life, as I have come to go through it. So if something scares you, ask yourself, how do I know? How much do I know this is going to end up in a disaster? Say your child is going up the tree. A mother says, oh my God, he's going to fall and break his leg. Yeah, that should not be voiced. What should be voiced is getting closer to the tree and putting your hand in a way that, you know, it's could be protective or encouraging the child to go higher. I am with you. I'm here. It's just a small example of how we can do it. I have a very funny story to tell you guys. I've told few of you. I was so much into make sure that my own personal fear does not go to my little kids, as my mom was very cautious and she warned me plenty. So we were walking on a hilltop and there were some red ants, and the kids were like 5 and 7. And my older son says, Mom, be careful, these red ants, when they bite, they really bite. And I said, no, they don't. They're a harmless creature. We shouldn't be afraid of them. And I prove it to you. I picked one up and he bit me so hard. I couldn't scream, because if I did scream, then my point was completely canceled. And the both kids looked at my hand and they pulled the ant's head, just still this got stuck and the body was disconnected. And my older son says, Mom, sometimes you just have to admit that something will do something not so good. So yeah, on that occasion, I took it too far.
Thank you so much. Our third question. My younger one, who is 6 years old, believes that trust and God are everywhere. She asked this question today. If God was with me, how did I get 3 mistakes on my spelling test? What is a good response?
God is not a human. In the human activity, they have to understand that God is the center of their peace, is their home. So whenever they have a problem or they need a close friend, they can go to their home, to their center of their peace, and just leave it there or ask for direction. But life of a human has to go the way the life of human goes. The body has to put effort, the mind has to study. But our connection with our center of our being that we call God is something way beyond small mistakes on a test or this and that. It is a pillar of strength in the face of fear. It's a pillar of strength in the face of weakness in the mind. It is a pillar of peace when there is unpeacefulness. So it's a refuge. Is not a rescue team. That's all I can say, really. And that goes for grown-up, too. Not every problem will be solved by our devotion to God, but our devotion to God will lessen the problem, sting of the problem. It's a passive watcher. It's not active like the mind. But then the more we rely on our silence and our communion, the more we get guided. Yeah, even on the test. I remember a mother goes to Shridi Baba and says that my son doesn't want to go through the final test for entering the university because he thinks he's not prepared. And Shridi Baba says, no, he should and he will pass. When she said it to the son became very encouraged and started studying day and night and passed it, so he didn't have doubt anymore. So you see, it indirectly helps our faith.
Thank you so much. Our fourth question. My grandson, who is almost 11 years old, asked me, how do you deal with or resolve a conflict with your friends? I told him I would ask Sad about his question. Can you please help guide me?
If they're a really good friend, they don't have to agree with each other. They can have conflict. They can have discussion. They can have disagreement. They can even have fight. The main thing that is each time that happens, it should increase their understanding of one another and acceptance of one another. And if it's a friend that is not really displaying friendship, then let it go. You know, every conflict can make us be more aware of our discomfort with someone, or it can really add to our increase our understanding of that person. That's when the parents can help.
Thank you. Question 5. When other parents come and tell you your child did something bad, or complain that your child said a bad word or didn't play nicely with their child, what is the best way to handle it?
Well, not defending our kids is one of them. Getting to the bottom of it and see if there is a problem to fix it. It's not a situation where you brush under a carpet. And if their complaint is stupid and non-important, you just let it totally go. And if they don't lack friendship with your child, be it. Let them move on. But if there is really a problem of aggressiveness or whatever that needs to be corrected, then you do that.
Thank you so much. Question 6. How can we respond to the question of our kids when they are angry and sad about cruelty, injustice, and horrible things happening to kids and adults in the world?
We tell them to mind their own business. And I don't mean they shouldn't have compassion. That's something Sai Baba said to a very devoted devotee when he said, Baba, look what is happening in the world. The cruelty, the this, the that. And Baba said, sir, the world is not your business. And so, yes, it hurts to see things like this. It really does. But then it's best to invest in ourselves, and that ripples to the surrounding. We will never solve the rattle of earthly life manifestation. There is no way. We can say God is love, why is so much hatred? We can say, why is this way, even though I had devotion? It's just that conflict in our mind can go on forever. So we just let it go and admit that we don't know anything, and hopefully we're nobody.
Thank you. Number 7. My 11-year-old son recently had a friend invite him to go to the youth group at his church, and my son asked me if he could go. The church is non-denominational, and after reviewing an online Sunday service of the church, my challenge with it, as with most churches, is that they teach the only path to God is through Jesus. And I'm not sure how to reconcile sending him to a church that tells him Jesus is the only way when that doesn't align with our beliefs. Can you please help guide me on the best way to navigate this?
He needs to explore. Who are we to say what our beliefs is better than somebody else's beliefs and all of that? I give you an example of my own life. I raised the children by taking them to India. We had Sai Baba's picture and devotion everywhere in our house and everything. And before my son got married, and he said, Mom, I need to find my own way. And I said, 100% I support you. Throw everything away and find your own way. Well, shortly after that, he found that his way was the way that he was raised in a miraculous way. It was showed to him. So he came back to me and said, I found it is the same that I had from childhood. So going to church one time, or thinking that Jesus was the way, There's nothing wrong with that. It could actually benefit the child. We don't know. Or most likely the child moves on and decide, okay, I tried that and I can move on.
Thank you so much. Our last question. One night as we were laying in bed talking before my son went to sleep, he was telling me about one of his dreams, and suddenly he looked at me and said, "How do I know I'm not dreaming right now? How do I know this all isn't also a dream?" And I told him I wasn't sure how to answer the question and I would have to get back to him. Can you help guide me?
Well, he said it. Said it right. I would just move on. Move on. Let him find out for himself. How old is he?
He's 11.
Yeah, just move on.
Thank you so very much, Zach.
Yes, absolutely. I'm glad we had this time together with all of you. You guys are incredible parents, extremely loving. Your children are lucky to have you as a mother and father with so much care and understanding. Have a wonderful weekend, all of you.